Colourful.
Gracie on Colourful Radio.
Welcome, Osibisa. The members of Osibisa, welcome to Colourful Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So first up, I wanted to each of you to introduce yourself and say what your role is in the group and how long you've been part of the group.
Well, I'll start with myself. My name is Greg Coffey Brown. I'm kind of like the baby of the group. I joined the group in 1982. I'm a singer, songwriter. I started off as the bass player. Now I'm playing rhythm guitar. And yeah, I've been there since 1982.
Excellent. And a new young man.
Yeah, my name is Wendell Richardson, but I use the name Del Richardson. And I'm founder member of the group from back when we started it in 71.
Wow.
And of course, I've made several albums with Osibisa. And I'd just like to say on my left hand is Robert Bailey, who's also a founder member of Osibisa, but I'll allow him to speak for himself.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Robert, Robert Bailey. A keyboard player and percussion, and started with the band, as Del said, in 71.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience, because within the space of a year, the band went from nothing to massive concerts, and
exactly.
It was very exciting, and I still remember those days.
Yeah. And what I wanted to ask, actually, is because I've been describing you as one of the original Afrobeat groups, and I just say Afrobeat as an overall kind of title, but how would you describe the music of Osibisa?
Afro rock.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Excellent. And also I was thinking, when the group first started, not many people have been exposed to African sounds. So what was the reception that you got when you first started out performing?
It was excellent. People, when we started off at first, we was playing in, I think, Highgate, mm-hmm. and it was next to a tennis court. And we were surprised at the amount of people that started coming to the shows. Yeah. It was very exciting and gave a lot of confidence to us, because we were just nowhere at the time. But it was really very good.
Yeah.
After that, we started playing different places, of course.
Yes.
And it was unusual to see like 7 black African people playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was wonderful. They accepted it.
That's good.
I think what defined the sound too was there was a core of African music, which was like Teddy and Saul and Mac Tonto. They were the Ghanaians and one Nigerian, Lofty Lisi Amal. And then there were 3 Caribbeans, which gave it a little twist. So I think that also affected and influenced the sound. And another thing too, I think it was amazing that in those days there was no Instagram, no Facebook, but by word of mouth, within a year, the band created such a storm, you know, and vibration that it's amazing how that happened, you know.
Yeah. And also you were bringing something different to the world.
Yes, I mean, I've being the baby member of the band. I remember Osibisa. I saw their first concert at my university, and to us young black musicians, the guys that we looked up to were like Osibisa, Mandrill, Samandi. You know, these were the bands that, you know, really fed our culture. You know. And to see the members of the diaspora, like from Africa and the West Indies, these guys coming out like, you know, superstars, you know, in the African costumes. And it was just very exciting for us, you know. To us, in that time, in the early 70s, bands like Santana, Osibisa, they were like the festival favorites.
Yeah.
You know, and I know from a lot of the history of the band that Osibisa developed such a reputation live that a lot of bands were afraid to have them. They were intimidated. I'm sure they can tell you the stories.
I can add to that because our first tour in America, we played with one of the top bands called Three Dog Night, and they were massive. They were the top group in America.
Yes.
And we, when we, after we finished playing our set, they couldn't move the crowd because the band was so powerful, the spirit was so strong, that they afterwards they said, "Look, sorry guys, we can't have you on anymore." Also, I mean, yeah, we played after that. We played with Stevie Wonder on, which is a lot lesser profile tours, and Stevie Wonder, Al Green, all these kind of big artists. And I think the band also had a lot of influence on them at the time, right, as Greg said, when he saw the band. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, and you guys are still touring today. So I was just thinking, in terms of the places that you tour, which countries and kind of crowds give you the most love whenever you're out there touring?
I think I would say that in the very first half of that experience was in America. We flew to an island called Puerto Rico, and we played to 450,000 people.
That's a lot.
And there was B.B. King there, and many English artists, including Rod Stewart, and many others, really. And it was such a huge concert that when we actually get to play at 3 o'clock in the morning, the sun was just coming out as we were playing the dawn, which was really...
It was raining. And then
it was raining, yeah.
And it stopped.
Wow. It was raining. And all the mothers with the babies with the plastic over and the fires and whatnot. Then we saw how far away they were from the stage and how huge it really was. But when we tried to get back to North Carolina, of course, getting to the airport, we had to step over people because they were all asleep in the airport. Okay. And then when we get to North Carolina, we had no equipment because the plane, the freight, didn't arrive.
Oh dear.
So Stevie Wonder allowed us to use his gear, which was really wonderful.
Excellent.
Yeah. For me personally, I remember the early stages of the band when we were touring in Europe, the greatest venues were Scandinavia, Sweden, Denmark, and Norway.
Okay.
The people there got really good reception. They seemed to really be in tune with what was going on, you know, which was interesting, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, from my point of view, the elemental nature of Osibisa, you know, the force of Osibisa, the force of the music, sometimes created magic out of nowhere, you know. I remember playing with the band at a festival in Fife, and it was for an environmental festival, and it was raining, and we got on stage and we played Sunshine Day. And I swear to you, it stopped raining, the clouds parted,
wow,
the sun came out, and as soon as we stopped playing that song, the clouds closed,
oh, wow,
it started raining again. So, I mean,
amazing.
It's something elemental about the band, and they even wrote about it in the Highland newspaper in Scotland.
That is amazing. And how is the touring experience? Does it get tough, or, you know, do you cope? How do you cope with touring?
Touring has its ups and its downs. I mean, we are sometimes able to go to far countries as far as India. And, you know, India has also exceptional traffic, especially Mumbai. So sometimes we get lost in different vehicles, and it's like you're using your phone to find out what's going on. So you're calling London to go back to them and say, "Well, where are you? What's happening?" They said, "You just go to the airport. We'll try and get to you as soon as we can." Okay. You know, crazy things like that happens on the tour.
Yeah.
You never expect anything can happen.
True, and I'm sure by touring so much, you're used to that. So you just like roll with the unexpected.
Well, if you're sitting in a car from about 5:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock trying to get to the airport, you know, from Putin like to Mumbai, it's a long drive, you know. And in India, they just blow horns. Truck is passing on the right, truck is passing on the left. They don't have like a fast lane. So it's very dangerous. You have to stay awake.
I could imagine.
That experience in Pune, going to Pune for the festival that Dell was talking about, was actually quite amazing. We played for this. I think he's one of the richest guys in India. We played for his birthday party, and there was an artist that was there named Akon, and who's a very famous African hip hop artist. And he was headlining, but he said he wasn't going to headline over Osibisa. you know. So he said he's going to play before us. He's going to open up for us.
Okay.
You know, and he's, I mean, Akon's like one of the biggest guys.
Definitely.
Certainly one of the most successful African artists ever.
Yeah.
And he just praised the band, and, you know, it was quite amazing, that whole episode that Del alluded to.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Right, I'm going to ask you, because you've got the guitar there, yeah. We're going to have a musical interlude. So, take it away.
Oh, right. We're going to do a song called Superfly Man from a movie called Superfly TNT. From a movie called Superfly TNT, and it was considered a blaxploitation film, but Osibisa did the second film. There was Superfly, which had the music of Curtis Mayfield, and there was then Superfly TNT, which had the music of Osibisa. So this is a song called Superfly Man.
You know, like I know, the man is watching you. Tell me why I feel good about things you do. Yeah. Why, oh why, tell me why I come back for more. Superfly man, Superfly man, tell me why you're in my way. Do you know, like I know, the man is watching you. Tell me why I feel good about things that you do. Why, oh why, tell me why, I come back for more. High man, Superfly man, tell me why you're in my way.
Soccer ball!
Yeah.
Right, thank you so much. Right, we're going to play a song and then we're going to come back. And I'm going to find out about a show that you've got coming up very, very soon. And this, if you guys don't know, is Classic Osibisa.
Gracie.
sounds of Asibisa and a track called Sunshine Day. Most of you should know that song. And I have the artist from Asibisa in front of me now. So I know you've got a show coming up very soon. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about it and what to expect?
It's at the Hideaway in Streatham. It's like a jazz club. It's quite big and the food is good.
On the 7th of January.
On the 7th of February.
7th of February.
You're going back, you're either going back or going forward in time. Yeah.
7th of February, yes.
And what can people expect from an Asibisa live experience?
A lot of excitement.
And great music?
Yeah. I hope so.
Okay, so that's on February the 7th at Hideaway in SW16.
And you got the legendary Robert Bailey, the legendary Dale Richardson. I mean, come on, you know.
Definitely.
The original sound of Asibisa.
So you definitely have to be there. So get your tickets. Just go to the website, hideawaylive.co.uk, for those tickets. And to send us out, we're going to have some more live music.
Everybody do what you're doing. Smile will bring a sunshine day. Everybody do what you're doing. Smile will bring a sunshine day.
Everybody do what you're doing. Your smile will bring a sunshiny day. Everybody do what you're doing. Your smile will bring a sunshiny day.
Everybody do what you're doing. Smile will bring a sunshine day.
Oh, 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 oh.
Everybody do what you're doing. Smile will bring a sunshine day.
Celebration.
Celebration.
We're together. Come join your hands in harmony.
Harmony.
Everybody, everybody do what you're doing. Your smile will bring a sunshine day.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Everybody do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Your smile will bring a sunshine day.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Everybody do what you're doing. Your smile will bring a sunshine
day. Yeah. Bump, bump. Bump, bump, bump.
Everybody let it shine. Let it shine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
You've definitely made my day. So do check out Asibisa at Hideaway on February the 7th, Southwest 16. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Colorful.
So
colorful.
Gracie on Colorful Radio.